God's grace and peace and love be yours now and always. I love the things that are called paradoxes, you know, where you've got, you say one thing over here, but then you say one thing over there, and you say, well, they seem to be opposite, but are they actually, is this one true or is this one true? And if you look on Wikipedia, it gives you a whole list of the various paradoxes that we find in life. One of them might be more haste, less speed. Okay, they sound as though they're opposites, but you can have a bit of both in there. And we've got the example of the tortoise and the hare. More haste, but less speed. You know, we've got to balance that between getting into it and also going at a measured pace. And in 1961, the novel Catch 22 describes absurd bureaucratic constraints on soldiers in World War II. The term is introduced by the character Doc Danica, an army psychiatrist, who invokes the rule 22 as Catch 22. This says that a pilot should not fly if they are mentally insane. Sounds like a good reason. Subsequently, any pilot requesting mental evaluation for insanity, hoping to be found not sane enough to fly and thereby escape dangerous missions, demonstrates his own sanity in making the request and thus cannot be declared insane and therefore has to go and fly. Okay. My personal favourite of these is the idea of free will and determinism. That we have free will and are responsible, but at the same time we are governed by our genes and our environment and all of those things. And I actually studied this area in philosophy in my first year at uni. And in the essay paper, the easier one to answer was that we are totally determined. Because logically and in terms of argumentation, you can simply say, well, I'm just simply a creation of all the things that have happened to me that I started with and that have happened to me in my life. And so it can get to the point where we say, well, I'm not responsible for anything. I'm just a product of my environment. But at the same time, I knew that I had free will. I certainly acted as though I had free will, and I treated other people as though they had free will. And I think both things are true. And it's not a matter of saying whether one is or the other, but holding those two things in tension. One of Jesus' paradoxes that he teaches is that whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. And Jesus also said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And then the ultimate paradox is that Jesus, being both fully God and fully man, both at the same time. How can we understand that? We can't intellectually understand, but we can affirm it, that Jesus is both God but also fully humans. And this is especially shown on Palm Sunday as a prelude to this whole amazing week that is ahead of us. Here, the fullness of Jesus' divinity and his humanity are exhibited for all the world to see. But some people find it hard to reconcile these two realities and only take one side of that coin. They fail to allow God to be bigger or more complex than what they can fit into their heads. So if I can't understand it, that can't be God. But none of us can understand what occurred during the birth, life, death and resurrection of Jesus, let alone who is this amazing God-man. Therefore, some groups of people, such as the Mormons, Christadelphians and the Jehovah's Witnesses, do not acknowledge Jesus to be God. They think that that's just impossible, that this man could have been God. And so they minimise his divinity and just see him as a prophet or a semi-divine person. On the other hand, there are people both within the church and outside the church, such as Gnostic groups, who minimise Jesus' humanity and try to keep Jesus outside of the harsh realities of what it means to be human. And this includes Muslims who deny that Jesus died on the cross, and they say that it was, rather than Jesus, it was someone else who died in his place. Because how could a prophet die in such a way? It also includes Christians amongst the Roman Catholics who think that they need to protect Jesus' divinity by saying that not only was Jesus born of a virgin, namely Mary, but that the mother of Mary was also born of a virgin mother. So the virgin birth in terms of that, so that the mother of Mary was also, so that this sort of puts Mary in a special place, as though she's more of a special human being, thus sort of protecting Jesus from just the core of his humanity, being born of an ordinary woman. And so they think they can protect Jesus from being born in that way. All these attempts actually minimise the reality of the gap between the God who created the universe and Jesus who became fully human. God in Jesus became fully human to the extent that he also died like one of us and experienced the utter tragedy of what it means to be unjustly condemned by the very humans that he had created. This then included being condemned to die by crucifixion, which was one of the worst methods of execution, normally used for slaves and major criminals. When we minimise either of these realities, namely that Jesus was fully God and fully human, when we minimise them and bring them in, we are minimising God's love for all of humanity, for you and for me. We want to limit how much he was willing to give up for you and for me. We want to make God a little more controllable or a little more distant from us so that his love for us is not quite so complete, personal and overwhelming. When we start to feel as though we have understood God, in actual fact, we have started to understand him less. All that we can do is surrender to God's overwhelming love and with gratitude and thanks, worship him rather than analyse him for all that he has done and will continue to do in our lives. Apart from worshipping Jesus as our loving God who has rescued us from death and sin and given to us an open door to the future, I would like to leave you to explore the way in which Palm Sunday and Jesus addresses our understanding of humility. Because there's a close connection between our understanding of God and also of humility. Humility is a very big part of Palm Sunday, and Paul in Philippians chapter 2 says, as we heard before, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." Some Christians have misunderstood this text, and what has sprung out of it has been a false humility. This is the type of humility that is aware of what others think of you and attempts to make oneself look as though you are more humble than other people. So it becomes a humility contest, almost. Or it is a humility that actually tries to put yourself down when given compliments or affirmations of one's abilities. Again, I think that our full understanding of who Jesus is and who we are in Jesus might help us to point out part of our misunderstanding of humility. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the Jewish leaders told him to tone down the crowd's adulations and praises of him. He said, "Jesus, these people, it's crazy what they're saying." But Jesus replied to them that if he did so, even the stones would start to sing his praises. Jesus knew he was both Messiah and God, and every one of these praises he deserved 1,000 times over. But he also knew that he was a very different Messiah to what they were expecting, and that he was coming in on a donkey, and by the end of the week would be strung up on a cross by these very leaders of the people. Jesus maintained the tension between his divinity and his humanity. Equally, we as Jesus' disciples need to hear clearly that we are fully loved children of God, who can stand before God and the world as fully forgiven and righteous. We are people to whom God has given gifts and talents and love, which we are privileged to share with everyone around us. But we also recognize that we are fully sinners, who often can distort the good gifts of God and place ourselves in the center of our relationships, rather than also recognizing the needs of others or giving due recognition to the giver of all good gifts, namely God. So as Christians, we need to hold in full tension the two realities that we are both saints and sinners at the same time. This is the freedom into which Jesus has called us. We are free to accept God's good gifts and recognize them and feel comfortable about getting positive comments about them and about us who do those things. But we are also free to acknowledge our limitations as flawed human beings. As Christians, we accept each other, whatever wrongs we might have done, because as God's forgiveness is endless, so is our forgiveness of each other. So there is nothing wrong with graciously accepting compliments about what you might have done or accomplished. If God has given you these and you have used them lovingly and generously, that is wonderful. But also don't let the compliments go to your head and then think that you are better than anyone else. We are all equally sinners as well as fully loved by God. We are all part of the body of Christ with our gifts and talents. We also all have the ability to very cleverly pretend that we are just a bit better than the other person, to either ourselves or to others. As soon as we have done that, our halo has slipped and we have forgotten our human limitations and God's grace and gifts to all of us. That is why on this Palm Sunday we can follow Jesus with joy in our hearts, knowing that Jesus steps ahead of us into this tumultuous week. We also know that we are not just following an amazing man, but God himself into the jaws of death as well as into his resurrection next Sunday. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming into this world in the form of an ordinary human being, just like each one of us. And yet in that, scooping us up into your hands, into your community, to be your resurrected people, following Jesus as our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.